You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
We had a great show in Vancouver this weekend. Thanks to everyone who joined the packed house at Vancouver Playhouse for Savage Love Live. Questions were asked. Questions were answered. Singer-songwriter Rachel Lark performed a killer set. Comedian Karina Lucas, well, she is amazing. She brought the motherfucking house, motherfucking down. Both Karina and Rachel will be joining us for Savage Love Live in Seattle at the Egyptian Theater on May 11th. Other upcoming Savage Love Live shows, Denver, San Francisco with Stormy Daniels. Chicago, Madison, Minneapolis also with Stormy Daniels and more cities. Go to savagelovecast.com and click on events for more info and to order tickets. But yeah, that wasn't what I was thinking. Something else happened this weekend. God, what was it? Cake. We had a giant chocolate sheet cake at the show in Vancouver. The whole audience helped me eat it. I think I'm going to order giant sheet cakes for all my upcoming shows because sheet cakes, they bring people together. But that wasn't it. What was it? Oh, yeah, right. The Mueller report was released. Well, actually, no, the Mueller report was not released. No one has seen it, and no one knows exactly what's in it. No one even knows how many pages it runs to. Unlike the Starr report, which started out as an investigation into a real estate deal in Arkansas and wound up being slash nonfiction about the sex life of the then sitting Democratic president, the Mueller report hasn't been released. And if Donald Trump has his way, it may never be released. All we know is that Donald Trump's Attorney General, Bill Barr, a man who'd attacked the Mueller investigation before he was appointed and whose attack should have disqualified him from serving as Attorney General and overseeing the Mueller investigation and report, blah, 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 that man, Bill Barr, sent a letter to Congress that essentially says, yeah, nothing to see here, and I'm so sure there's nothing to see here that I'm not going to let you see it, which is unacceptable. Despite what you may have heard, the Mueller investigation did not exonerate the president on obstruction of justice charges or any others. Mueller found no evidence of a conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia to swing the election, but Mueller did not make a determination on obstruction of justice, which is what Clinton was impeached for, over a blowjob, not over a campaign by a hostile foreign power to swing an election and put a useful idiot in the Oval Office. And Mueller says that that actually happened. That hostile foreign power worked to sow division between Americans and hacked the Democratic Party's emails and attacked Hillary Clinton, all in a successful effort to put Donald fucking Trump in the White House. We aren't crazy. That all happened, and none of that was okay. Charging Trump with obstruction, the least that he's guilty of, Mueller left that up to Congress. But Congress can't make that determination. They can't make that call if they are not given the report, which William Barr may not give them. So, yeah, good show in Vancouver this weekend. Shit show in D.C. this weekend. It is also incredibly frustrating. So I want to get to your questions instead of thinking about this, because thinking about this is going to make my head explode. So I'm going to give the last word, at least on this subject, to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who tweeted out, as horrific as this president is, he is a symptom of much deeper problems. He can stay, he can go, he can be impeached or voted out in 2020. But removing Trump will not remove the infrastructure of an entire party that embraced him, the dark money that funded him, nor the racism he amplified and reanimated. In order for us to heal as a nation, we all must pursue the hard work of addressing these root causes, AOC goes on. It's not as easy as voting. It means having uncomfortable moments and convos with loved ones, with media, with those we disagree with. And yes, within our own party, it is on all of us. Indeed it is. Oh, and one really great thing that happened this weekend, Vulture, New York Magazine's Vulture, named the Savage Lovecast one of the top 100 podcasts in the world. We're on a list with a lot of really great podcasts, a lot of really great podcasters, and we were so grateful to see the Savage Lovecast mentioned right there at the top. Thank you very much, Vulture. All right, coming up on today's show on the micro-free edition of the Savage Lovecast, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and then the Magnum subscription edition of the Savage Lovecast that you can subscribe to at savagelovecast.com, twice as long and no ads. Comedian Kate Willett joins us to field a few of your questions with me. All that coming up on today's show. Support for today's show, support we are very grateful for, comes from Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can access all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk in your own home, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click, print, mail, and you are done. It could not be easier. And right now, use Savage for this special offer. Includes up to $55 worth of free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Do not wait. Go to stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Savage. That's stamps.com. Enter S-A-V-A-G-E. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Talkspace, online therapy that makes it easy to get extra support. Use the offer code SAVAGE for $45 off your first month. Go to Talkspace.com and use the offer code SAVAGE. MeUndies makes feel-good underpants your butt will be proud to wear and you will be proud to be seen in. They will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own, and to check it out yourself, go to MeUndies.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I am a straight female living in the Bay Area, 38 years old, in a long-term committed relationship with a wonderful man. We are super happy together and are building a beautiful life. We have a great sex life, and I feel safe and loved and secure in a way that I never thought possible, which is why I'm actually considering living out some fantasies of ours that I never thought I would feel comfortable actually doing in real life. Specifically, he has this fantasy of bringing another man into our sex life and having him have sex with me while my partner watches and then potentially gets involved as well. And this fantasy of my partner's is a really, really strong one for him. He says he can't stop thinking about it while we're being sexual, and while we're in the moment, he feels like it's something he really needs and it's a little bit consuming. And so as of now, it's just been something we talk about while we're having sex, but I feel us moving towards the possibility of actually acting on this. So my question is, how do we go about doing this in a way that minimizes the risk for hard feelings or even possibly jeopardizing our relationship? Neither of us want to do anything that would jeopardize our relationship. It wouldn't be worth it to us. So can we do something like this without running the risk of really hurting one another or doing something that we can't take back? Or is that even possible?
There's the fantasy of wanting to see your partner with another person sexually, and then there's the reality of seeing your partner with another person sexually. The fantasy is really common, has lots of names, cuckolding, that's this plus humiliation, stag and vixen, hot wiving, hot husbanding, certain kind of swinging. People watch their partners with other people, get off on it, but it's not maybe their main thing. This is a common fantasy. Now, it can go wrong, and when it goes wrong, we hear about it. It's just like that prejudice people have about non-monogamous relationships, because every non-monogamous relationship, if you're straight, that you've ever heard about, fell apart. But that's why you heard about it. The successful open relationships or non-monogamous relationships in straight land, still to this day, by and large, for the most part, the folks who are non-monogamous and straight are closeted. So their friends may know people who are not monogamous, but they may not know they know people who are not monogamous. And everybody they hear about who had a three-way or did a cuckolding scene or attempted polyamory, they hear about the relationship when it falls apart, and then they think, you can never do that. It's too dangerous. It's too risky. Now, it is risky, of course. Involving other people in your sex life carries risk, but you can do it successfully, and you can mitigate for those risks. And with something like this, and it doesn't sound like your partner has any fantasies around humiliation. He wants to see you with someone else. He wants to involve a third person, maybe involve himself as well. That's more on the hot wifing, stag vixening end of the spectrum. But there are risks there. You know, he thinks about this. He talks about it a lot. Maybe he even obsesses about it a little bit. But you can't predict how it's going to feel when you actually see your partner with somebody else. So that first time, you want to minimize what that contact will be before the event. He may think he's down for PIV, you and some other dude, and watching, and that may sound really hot to him. And then in the moment, he may have a really negative reaction to even pre-PIV. So I would encourage you, the first time you do this with somebody else, if you bring in another man, to take PIV and other really significant to you two sexual acts off the menu. That first time, maybe it's just you and him at a bar and you make out with some other dude on the dance floor. See how he feels about that. Maybe the first time you have somebody home, maybe it's that guy you met at the bar. It's just oral. It's just rolling around. It's just mutual masturbation. And no upgrading in the moment to PIV, not to make it hierarchical. PIV doesn't exist on a higher plane than other sexual acts, blah, blah, blah. But no upgrading in the moment. If you guys have agreed going in that it's just going to be oral or just going to be mutual masturbation that first time, so you can test the waters and then have those orgasms and sit with your feelings after the orgasms. Very important, because sometimes people experience post-orgasmic panic and regret. Even if it feels right in the moment to want to go for PIV, don't. That first time, it is low stakes, less emotionally fraught or significant sex acts. And then you check in and see how you feel. And then the third or fourth time you do this, maybe then you go for PIV. You can also contain this. If there's a risk of you forming an emotional attachment, this is an out-of-town or out-of-time zone pursuit or an on-vacation thing and not something that you do at home. Now, when it comes to fulfilling a fantasy like this, if your partner isn't into it, if your partner is monogamous and wants to remain monogamous and doesn't feel right about or emotionally safe or sexually safe having contact with other people, this is a fetish too far. I would put this in the fetish too far category. This isn't something that GGG, being good giving in game, demands of us. We aren't required to sleep with other people, to take the risk inherent in sleeping with other people to satisfy our partner's kink. But when it comes to sex, we have to, I think, be on guard about our own kink phobia and sex phobia. You know, you identify, and there are risks here that can be identified that attach to doing this. There are also risks that attach to not doing something. The sex phobia in our culture, the sex shame and kink shame in our culture, we're all much more comfortable, if we don't think about it for a few minutes, with the not doing of something sexual. That's always the preferable option. That is the better course. Because then you aren't doing that dirty sex thing and then you aren't taking those risks. But, you know, sexual frustration and sexual resentment also pose a risk to a relationship. And if this is really central to your partner's sense of sexual fulfillment and you're otherwise fine with it, if you can figure out how to minimize those risks, never doing it also presents a kind of risk to your relationship. People will blow up or sabotage their relationships to get what they want sexually. I say that and people look at me like I'm crazy, and I look around and I see that happening all day long, all the time. People will run off and see sex workers, no shade on sex workers, to fulfill a fantasy that they aren't getting fulfilled at home, and then it'll be uncovered and their relationship will fall apart, or somebody wants to have that three-way they never got to have and they can't have it with their partner, they do it with somebody else. People destroy their lives all the time in pursuit of a sexual interest. Now, it's best, I think, if two people who are exclusive or monogamous, mostly exclusive, can have these sexual adventures together and be honest and open with each other about what's possible in the relationship and what's not possible in the relationship, and both are willing to pay that price of admission. You know, you can't have everything that you want. I'm not signing off on that concept either, but it's ideal if two people can make a good faith effort in the direction of fulfilling all of their partner's sexual needs and wants that they can reasonably fulfill. So can you reasonably fulfill this? Is this something that you want to do? Do you want to take him up on this offer? Do you want to be with another man in this context where he is enjoying it too, where there's something in it for him too? It's not just for you. But is there a part of it that is for you, that appeals to you? And if there is, identify those risks, including STI risks, figure out how to minimize them. And again, the most significant risk here is that his reaction to the reality of this unfolding in front of him may be in conflict to how much the fantasy of it turns him on. He may have a very negative reaction in the moment, which is why that first time and the first couple of times, it needs to be low bore, low stakes sexual contact. Ideally, that first time you'll be fully clothed and out somewhere and you will let him see you flirt with someone else. Engage his reaction to that before you take any further steps toward fulfilling this fantasy. Hopefully not just for him, but for you too.
Hey, Dan. My girlfriend and I have been in an open relationship for the better part of a year and a half, and we entered in an open relationship. I've always had plans to move to New York at some point, and we were not quite sure of when she was going to come with me. She moved here from New York, and she had reservations about uprooting herself. And while we were doing a show together, she met a guy, and I was super supportive, and they struck up a friendship, and then she went to go visit him, and I was super supportive of that. But then after she came home, their friendship developed into a relationship of a romantic nature, which I was not privy of. We talked about everything else in our relationship, how we will sleep with other people, et cetera, but this was kind of kept a secret until she said, hey, I'm dating this guy. And it wasn't a question of, can we explore polyamory? It was, I'm dating this guy, and it was a line in the sand. And it feels like he gets a lot of special privileges that I don't. And it feels like I am by default polyamorous, but I hate it because I certainly feel like a third wheel. And I don't know how to bring it up that I would like her to curb behavior. At least we can talk about it.
So I had a question for you. I just listened to your call. What are the special privileges that your girlfriend's other boyfriend is getting that you aren't getting?
The only special privileges are, to be fair, things have changed in the week that I called you.
Oh, update us.
Okay, so since I called you, I kind of expressed to her that, like, hey, you get to spend your weekends or whatever with him, and I don't get to contact you, because she made it very clear she likes it when I leave her alone and when his wife leaves him alone when they're together. But when we're making breakfast or after we have sex, whatever, and she's texting him, that made me feel really shitty. It's like she has a boyfriend in her phone all the time along with me, and I just felt very unimportant. And I did let her know that, and she didn't even realize that was affecting me.
Ah, okay. So you communicated, you used your words. Are you feeling better about this now?
I am feeling better. I'll tell you the one thing that I'm kind of stuck in, because we're reading a lot of poly material and I'm getting it. Like, she was dragging me along to polyland. I was a PUD, and it really hurt, but I'm getting it. The only thing that sucks now is it was a secret, and it's the lying by omission that I'm just still having a lot of trust issues now. Like, I support the relationship and I think it's great, but the fact that it was kept a secret for so long, and then an ultimatum was made of, I have another boyfriend now. The only answer I had to give was yes or no.
Right. She laid that out at the price of admission for you to remain in the relationship with her, that going forward, you were going to have to sort of retroactively put your stamp of approval on this relationship. You know, in fairness to her, and I'm sure a lot of people out there listening right now are mad at her, a lot of people back into polyamory. They find themselves arriving at it. And just like you became poly under duress, you were given this basically an ultimatum that if you want to continue to see me, you have to accept that I'm now in this relationship with the other person. Often the person who issued that ultimatum, you know, they were doing it the way they're supposed to do it. They were having, you know, non-committal sex, no relationship, no intimate entanglement. And it just sort of bubbled up and they caught feelings that they weren't seeking.
Yeah.
And then, oh my God, what do? And so they go to their primary partner and they say, this is the reality now and I'm sorry about it, but I'm not going to dump this other person, and so you're going to have to eat it. And that sounds terrible, and a lot of people out there are probably shouting DTMFA as they listen to you and they listen to me. But I just know so many people who are happily poly, long-term poly relationships, primary partners, or non-hierarchical. And the beginning was much like the beginning that you described. One person fucked up, did it wrong, caught feelings they weren't supposed to have, didn't terminate that relationship, didn't try to cauterize that wound, and went to their primary partner and said, okay, this is our reality now. Are you in or are you out? And, you know, those people who are happy in those relationships going forward stayed in. They went from PUDs, poly under duress, to happily poly, HPs or whatever. But it took some time. And, you know, the question in a moment like that is, and the metaphor I always use with friends who found themselves in a similar circumstance, is your partner went and bought a house without telling you about it. And that's a shitty thing to do. That's a major purchase. right? And you need to, you can say to your partner, that was a shitty thing to do. You shouldn't have done that. Now let's take a look at the house and I'm going to decide if I want to live there. And it might be that the house they bought is somewhere you want to live. If you can separate your anger at them having purchased that place without consulting you from the place itself and make an independent assessment of the place itself, is this house appealing to me? Is this a place I would have wanted to live if we had negotiated it and house shopping together? And if the answer is yes, and if your partner isn't in the habit of presenting you as fait accomplis and issuing ultimatums, and this isn't a pattern but a rupture, and it's not going to happen again, and you can have a conversation about that. Right. And if your partner's apologized to you for impulsively buying that fucking house, and I'm torturing the metaphor now, maybe you can move in there and be happy there. But if you're forever going to be angry and resentful about the ultimatum, about the fait accompli, about the purchase of the house without getting to go house hunting yourself with your partner, if you can never let go of the anger, you're never going to be happy in that house, and you should not move in there with them.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I hadn't thought about separating the anger of the ultimatum from actually enjoying the circumstance we're in now.
And do you enjoy the circumstance you're in now?
I do. I kind of like the idea, because I like commitment, and I like the idea that you can have multiple commitments.
And for a lot of women in polyamorous or open relationships, it's riskier out there if you're just impulsively jumping into bed with testosterone-soaked dick monsters. And a lot of women, I think rightfully so, aren't comfortable just hooking up with strangers. And so it works better for a lot of women in opposite sex open relationships to have some sort of connection, intimacy, familiarity, or to have one regular other partner. And this guy has a wife, so he's not trying to run off with your partner. And so he seems like a safe bet for your wife to have an intimate ongoing connection. And or your wife, your girlfriend, your partner. And it's a really good sign that when you brought up this double standard, when you're with him, I'm not supposed to contact you and let you have that time. But when you're with me, there's a steady stream of texts. And that immediately opened her eyes to the fact that she was being dense and inconsiderate.
Yeah.
And taking you for granted. And she stopped, right? She changed her behavior.
Yes. Yes, she did.
These are all really good signs going forward. I don't think you're crazy if you stay with her. Fait accompli, ultimatums, you know, demand that you pay this price of admission. I don't think you're crazy to stay with her. This sounds like a house that you could live happily in.
Oh, Dan, you've made my Tuesday so good.
Well, thank you. And thanks for answering the phone. We know that we call people from mystery numbers and people don't recognize us. So we always appreciate when people pick up. Talk to you soon. Good luck. Give us a call back sometime and let us know how it unfolds.
Okay, I will. Thanks a lot.
Bye. We all need someone to talk to, a person who can support us through rough patches or even the everyday ups and downs of life, and that's where Talkspace comes in. Talkspace online therapy makes taking care of your mental health more affordable and convenient than ever before. Simply provide your preferences for therapy, and Talkspace will match you with one of 4,000 therapists the very same day. Send your therapist unlimited text, audio, picture, or video messages from anywhere at any time. If you're going through a rough patch, you can always schedule a live video session with your therapist for extra support. 1 month of therapy on the Talkspace platform costs about the same amount as a single face-to-face session. Best of all, you'll never have to wait a week to share what's on your mind. Talkspace has more than 4,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing the challenges we all face. To match with your perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use the promo code SAVAGE to get $45 off your first month and show your support for the Lovecast. That's SAVAGE and Talkspace.com.
Hi, Dan. This is a 33-year-old cisgender straight female living in New York. I am calling because my boyfriend and I have been together for about almost 6 years now. It's been off and on. We had some big gaps within those 6 years. And most recently, I want to say about 6 months ago, we finally got back together and things felt different. Therapy on his end was a remarkable thing. You know, doing all the right things, like losing weight for your partner and bettering yourself for your partner. Those things finally started to happen. So I feel like for the first time, we are truly in a healthy place and we are moving forward in a actual real way. which was one of my main issues of our relationship in the first place, was that we weren't moving. Coming to now, where we are finally in a very good place and we've known each other, we know each other better than anyone knows anybody else, you know. And my main issue is that he still has never introduced me to his kids. Now, I understood before, because we had our relationship had these big tumultuous upswings and downswings, and there's a big age difference with us, which always made things a little bit complicated. But it's fucking time, Dan. Like, I have brought it up as many times as I'm willing to bring it up, because there's only so many times you can do it before you're just being pestering, I guess. But also, he's not fucking doing anything about it. Like, he says he is. He promises. And I know he does, in a way, mean it, because he wants this problem to not be a problem anymore. And he does want us to move forward, but he's terrified, I guess, because, I mean, I can't sympathize or empathize. I'm not a veteran, but I think I have a decent idea how scary it is. But I'm fed up, Dan. I'm just fucking fed up. I'm so tired of being someone who can't even, like, it gets even more complicated. He still lives in the same apartment. God, it's a fucking New York, that he still lives in the same apartment as his ex-wife, because the apartment is so big, there's essentially like an extra wing that she stays in, and he wants to be near his two sons. Like, he wants to be close to them. So until him and I move in together, as we've had such a tumultuous relationship, we haven't been able to move in together. That is happening soon, thank God. But I don't want to wait for us moving in together to be the time that he introduces me to his kids. You know, how ugly will that be? Like, hey, guess what? I'm taking you away from your dad. But surprise, this is who I am. I don't think I should know who they're before. But now where I'm at is, should I give an ultimatum? Because that's how angry I am right now. Should I give an ultimatum to say, if I don't meet the kids by, I don't know, the end of the month, that I'm done? Because frankly, when I really sit down and think about it, and when he's home and I can't go there because his kids are there, like, that's fucked up, right? It's time. What do you think?
We just discussed poly under duress and how that can actually work out. I'm not sure introduce your kids to me under duress has ever worked out. You've been seeing this man for 6 years. You don't mention how old these children are. You say there's a significant age gap, so presumably he's much older than you are, and perhaps his children are closer to your age than his age. And the entire time you've been dating him, he's been living with his ex-wife, so still kind of functioning as a couple and co-parents, and presumably these kids are not toddlers. Maybe they're middle school, high school, and still living at home. And he hasn't introduced you to them. Now, you say that, again, you've been going on for 6 years, but they've been six incredibly tumultuous, conflicty years, and it's only in the last 6 months that through therapy, some sort of counseling, that you two have found a kind of stable place where the relationship isn't high conflict. Although the tone of your voice and the frequency of your F-bombs makes the relationship sound really high conflict and really dysfunctional and really unpleasant. And if you feel pushed aside, if you feel like he hasn't integrated you into his life in a way that demonstrates that he values you or respects you, perhaps you should end this relationship. Not as a strategy to force him to finally introduce you to his fucking kids, but because, you know, maybe this 6 months of peace isn't going to last. Maybe this is just the quiet before yet another storm. Maybe he doesn't and can't give you what you want or make you happy. That said, I think the point that you raise is a valid one. If he waits to introduce you to these children until the day he moves in with you, they will regard you as the reason he moved out. Are you the reason he's moving out? Are you insisting that he move out and move in with you? Is that a valid thing for these kids to think? Does he want to move out? 6 years. How long has he been divorced and he's still living at home? It can't just be about wings of apartments. And I'm sorry, anybody who lives in New York with two children who has an apartment large enough to have wings that you can share with an ex where you never ever run into them in that apartment can afford to have two apartments, two smaller apartments. They could have gotten two smaller apartments in the same fucking building probably a long time ago if they were interested in actually breaking up this household. They may not be interested. He may never give you what you want. There are millions and millions of other men in New York. Millions and millions of other men who don't have children or would introduce their girlfriends or new partners to the children that they do have, who don't live with their wives, their ex-wives, or their ex-girlfriends. And I would encourage you to maybe think about dating one of them and stop investing in what sounds like not a great relationship based on what little you shared with us today. You probably spend about 90% of your life in your underwear, so don't you think you owe it to yourself to make sure you're wearing the softest undies in town? That's why I personally love Me Undies. I love to wear them. I love it when someone else who's wearing them is in very close proximity. They feel good, not just on you. They feel good on other people too, because Me Undies are so amazingly soft. They use the coveted micromodal fabric, which is a full 3 times softer than cotton. I have a pair of Me Undies pajama pants that I am in every night. They are so comfortable. Not only will you feel like your loins, or your legs in my case, are being hugged by joy itself, but Me Undies gives you multiple style options for both men and women. Men can try the new boxer brief with fly, which is the same great cut as boxer brief, but now with an added option for guys who prefer to go through the gate versus over the fence. Me Undies is also the go-to for the softest loungewear on the planet, like the pants I lounge in every night. You too can hang out in their super comfy lounge pants and onesies. Yes, Me Undies makes onesies if you want to feel that micromodal fabric all over. And they are, and they feel incredible. Me Undies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you order anything at Me Undies, you get 15% off and free shipping. Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable underpants you will ever pull on or off. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/savage. That's MeUndies.com/savage.
Hey, Dan. I am calling to get your opinion about a game that was recently released. It's called Rape Day, and it was like released on Steam. I think they've like taken it down now, but it's a game where you can basically like pose as a serial rapist and go around and rape women. And I am just, you know, I want to know what you think about this. Like, I mean, is this art? Is this free speech? Like, is this okay? Should this be allowed? Like, how did this even come to fruition in general? Like, as a cis woman, like, I mean, I'm pretty upset, anxious, like, pissed off and upset about this. Like, and I know there's not, like, significant evidence that, like, correlates violent video games with, like, violence in real life, but I feel like there's no way that a game like this doesn't contribute to, like, violence against women in real life. So I'm just curious, like, your thoughts, like, I mean, and especially, like, as far as, like, kink, like, women who have, you know, rape fantasies, and men as well, like, is this, like, some sort of, like, can this be, like, a positive out, or, I don't know.
There's no evidence that shows that viewing violent pornography inspires people to commit acts of violence. In fact, the opposite may be the case. And there are a lot of people out there with what we delicately attempt to call ravishment fantasies now, but any effort to replace an English a one-syllable word with a 3 or 4-syllable word is usually unsuccessful. So when these things are discussed, usually discussed as a rape fantasy. In a rape fantasy scenario, someone is eroticizing perhaps their deepest fears and finding a controlled way to have an experience that provides them with some catharsis and release and control of an experience that they fear happening where they won't have any control. And that can be deeply erotic. Now, this Rape Day video game, which is already being pulled off platforms everywhere, the service, I believe, that first put it up doesn't really screen or filter the games they put up, but will sometimes take a look if enough people freak out and complain. And enough people, there was a change.org petition, freaked out and complained, I think rightfully so, about this zombie apocalypse game where the viewer plays some zombie who, to progress through the game, has to commit acts of sexual assault and violence. And it's gone. And you're right. There is some point of tension between allowing for the fact that a lot of people out there have rape and ravishment fantasies, that they would like to find someone that they can enact those fantasies with in a safe and consensual and controlled way. The fact that there's all sorts of other forms of violence that are portrayed in the media that we don't see a lot of change.org petitions about. I know myself personally, I will never get over being forced to sit through that terrible killer clown movie, It, where children are dismembered and murdered on the screen very graphically. It was a big hit. I hated it. There wasn't, however, a change.org petition calling for it to be yanked out of theaters or to prevent the filming of the inevitable sequel, which is, I hear, coming our way. So there is some point of tension between depictions of violence and mayhem, serial killer cultural fetishism is a thing, and a line that we seem to want to draw, and I think necessarily need to draw, around depictions of sexual violence, where sexual violence, as in this game, as opposed to Game of Thrones, for instance, is the point. As opposed to a part of the narrative, it is the whole reason. It is, in a non-sexual way, being portrayed as the goal and the natural use of the female characters, as opposed to a violation or a crime. All that said, I am comfortable with this game, Rape Day, being banned. And I am comfortable sitting with that contradiction that I will allow for, I have even facilitated through conversation with others, the realization in a consensual and non-harmful way of a ravishment or rape fantasy with consenting adults in private, and then only impacting the people who are in that room enjoying that experience in a consensual, pre-negotiated, again, non-harmful way. And the injection into the culture of a game, literally something that makes a game out of sexual assault, at least in fantasy role play, the stakes, the consequence, the seriousness and the transgressiveness of that act is, you know, it's a part of what makes it erotic. It's a part of what makes enacting it for someone who's turned on by it cathartic. It is contained, though, to the experience of those two people. This game being loosed on the world, it's not contained. And it's not about catharsis and release. It's not about visiting a terror and then feeling it and walking away from it. It's about that terror being presented to us, and I'm sorry to go there, young, impressionable males who play games, as an entertainment, as something laudatory. And in the zombie apocalypse universe created by the assholes who designed this game, as an achievement, as a goal unto itself. And I'm not okay with that. So I am okay with this kind of, or this degree of censorship. I don't think there should have been that movie, It. I wish there wasn't going to be a sequel. I wouldn't, if it was in my power, deny other people the right to sit through that awful film. And you being upset and you feeling conflicted about this in the same way that I feel conflicted about this, I'm right there with you. And I'm sorry that we've all had to even have this conversation. I'm sorry that there are assholes out there who thought that this was entertaining and a fit subject for a game. Here is a time-saving, hassle-reducing, life-simplifying, money-saving tip. Stop going to the post office. How, you ask me? How? By using Stamps.com, one of the most popular time-saving tools for small businesses. Stamps.com eliminates trips to the post office and saves you money with discounts you can't even get at the post office. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. Whether you're a small office sending invoices, an online seller shipping out products, or even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail is ready, just hand it to your mail carrier or drop it in a mailbox. It is literally that simple. With Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. Not to mention, it's a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder that over 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. And right now, my listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Savage. That's Stamps.com. Click the mic. Enter Savage.
Hey, Dan and the tech savvy at-risk youth and Nancy. I am a 27-year-old cisgender gay male. I'm calling because I have a question about my partner. He is 26. We've been together for a while now. We dated previously in the past, and things were pretty awesome, and we broke it off for a little while just because we weren't on the same page and weren't communicating and what have you. So now we have gotten back together, and we have tried to communicate more about our feelings and our wants and our needs. And here's my issue. I am personally a pretty sexually expressive person. I enjoy sex. It's just awesome and what have you. He, on the other hand, doesn't seem to get the same joy and fulfillment out of sex as I do. So he is a little more reserved when it comes to things. I try and make moves every once in a while, and he just doesn't really pick up on it, / he doesn't want it. He just expresses that he doesn't care for it at that moment. So I tried to communicate with him and ask him like what he was into and the things he wants and needs out of sexual fulfillment. He enjoys chatterbait, and I'm totally okay with him doing that. And he also expressed to me that he enjoys going to bathhouses. I personally didn't have any experience with a bathhouse previously, but I was open to try it. So we ended up going to a bathhouse, and we had a lot of fun. And I ended up getting tired about 2 hours into it and told him that I was going to step outside, and he said he would be out there momentarily. So he was in there for 2 hours after I had left, and it really upset me. And he thought I was being a little overdramatic because it was just a little bit more time than he intended and what have you, right? So I don't know. I guess my question is, I'm a little confused on how to get him to tell me what he's sexually into. Because when we did do that situation, it seemed like we had a lot of fun, but since then, we really haven't had any sexual content at all.
I think you should break up with him, not because he's an asshole, not because he's unworthy of your affection, but because it isn't working between you two sexually, that there's a disconnect here. There's a failure on his side to communicate. He doesn't seem to be able to communicate. Now, there are guys out there, and sometimes it seems that gay guys are more susceptible to this than others, who have a difficult time with sex in the context of an ongoing intimate relationship. They have a difficult time incorporating sex into a boyfriend-y scenario, and they have a much easier time seeking what they want, asking for what they want, verbally or non-verbally, in a bathhouse, in a public sex environment, from a stranger, from someone they never have to look in the eye ever again. And it could be tied, for a lot of gay guys, to their own internalized homophobia or sense of shame, you know, telling you what he wants. He feels, or he projects onto you, judgment that you may not be engaged in. You're not judging him. You want to meet his needs. And then he reads that judgment into your actions, and he feels every time you look at him that you're just looking askance at him now because he revealed this whatever it is about him that he wants, as opposed to the guys he meets in bathhouses where he can say, I want to do this, this, and this. And then when it's over, they go their separate ways and he never has to see them ever again. Now, it would be better if he could tell you what he wants and do some of the things that he wants to do with you. And then also, if he's into bathhouses or into public sex, go out and do those things with other people and with you too. You guys could have those sexual adventures together. But for whatever reason, he isn't capable of integrating you into his sex life in any sort of functional way. And the question then for you becomes, how long are you going to hang around waiting for him to learn how to do that or even demonstrate to you that he wants to do that? Someone who tells you that he'll just be a moment and then leaves you standing outside a bathhouse for 2 hours, even if he was capable of integrating you into his sex life, that's a kind of inconsiderate, asshole-y move that may disqualify someone or may demonstrate that someone isn't ready yet for a partnership. Because when you're in a partnership, when you're in a relationship, when you have a boyfriend, you have to take their feelings into consideration. And he failed just on that. So how much longer are you going to invest your time and mental energy and sexual frustration? How much more sexually frustrated are you going to become waiting around for him to turn into someone else, turn into someone he's not, learn how to communicate with you? You got to dump him, and you got to tell him why you're dumping him. And maybe that'll inspire him to get his ass onto a therapist's couch and see if this is something that he can work on or change. May not be something he can change. Doesn't mean that he's broken. It just means that this may be how he functions sexually, in which case he needs to find himself a partner. And I've met gay couples like this. He needs to find himself a partner who wants intimacy and romance and connection and stability and familiarity in his relationship, but not sex. He needs to find someone who is on the same page there. And they both have tons of anonymous or quasi-anonymous sex with other people in public sex environments and bathhouses. And they come home to each other and make dinner and cuddle on the couch, but they don't fuck. That can work, but it only works if it's what both people want and it makes both partners happy. What he's offering you doesn't make you happy. It makes you miserable. End this relationship. All right, your tweets. Mari Blank tweets, I can't believe at Fake Dan Savage has incorporated the term doggedy style into his vocabulary after that weird Australian call back in December. Believe it, Mari. Believe it. The best Catherine tweets, listening to Savage Lovecast and playing Do You Agree with Dan with my roommate? Kind of a boring game because Dan's always right. I don't even think I'm always right, but thank you very much for that endorsement. And finally, Eva Cook tweets, if sex ed was as cutthroat, informative, and funny as Fake Dan Savage's Savage Lovecast, we'd all be better daters, partners, and probably humans. Do yourself and your SO and your Tinder date a kindness and get them clued in on the Savage Lovecast. Your romantic life will thank you for it. Thank you, Eva Cook, for that endorsement. Eva Cook tweeted that out after coming to Savage Love Live in Vancouver. It was great to have you. Hope you enjoyed the cake, Eva. And finally, this one didn't come by text. It was submitted to me on a question card at a live show. My father was offended when you didn't cite me by name when you mentioned my sexting research in the New York Times. I credited researchers at Drexel University. I should have credited, and I am now crediting Dr. Emily Stasko, PhD. Thank you, Dr. Emily, for your important work. And now your response calls.
Hi, I am calling about the girl who all of these men's dirty rooms and apartments that they've been in. So I am a housekeeper for over 60 people right now. And before that, I was a cleaning lady. So I can personally tell you that single men in their 20s and 30s, specifically single men, are really some of the filthiest people on this earth. And you know what? Something that you didn't bring up, although I can't blame you because it doesn't get talked about a lot, is that these boys are being raised to be slobs. Often, moms aren't teaching their sons to take care of their stuff, to change their sheets. I can tell you that my clients who are single men often don't change their sheets. There is usually, you know, tissue paper lying around. There's all sorts of nasty things. They don't do their dishes. And it's so prevalent that it has to be socialized. There is no other way. It is so common. So yeah, yes, you can be turned on. And in fact, you can say something about it because it's gross. And more guys should be told that they're gross and their homes are gross. It's just a fact.
Hey, Dan, calling about your caller who was kind of freaking out about her husband telling her that he likes to wear women's clothes. And it's like, man, she just needs to really take a breath and relax. I mean, I know transgender is what everybody talks about right now, all the time. And it's fine. That's fine. That's something that needs to be talked about. But whatever happened to just cross-dressing? People cross-dress. My current girlfriend is straight as an arrow, straighter than I am, but she has a big fetish about me wearing women's underwear. That just turns her on. Doesn't mean that either of us is transgender in any way, you know? So yeah, just get freaky, you know, transgress. Cross-dressing is fine. Hey, Dan, I'm calling you about episode number 647 and the lady with the crappy cousin who's running the crisis pregnancy center. Please tell her to let her cousin know I just started making a $20 a month donation to Planned Parenthood in honor of her crappy cousin.
And we're going to leave it there. Hey, everybody, my Dirty Little Porn Film Festival Hump is coming all over the place this week. We will be in Nashville, Denver, New York City. Go to humpfilmfest.com to get your tickets. And Spliff, our new film festival made by stoners for stoners, has announced the official lineup of films and will be coming in April to Denver, Seattle, Portland, and San Francisco in May. Go to splifffilmfest.com to find out more and get tickets. All right, 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you'd like to record a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz, 206-302-2064. Follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage. Follow Kate Willett on Twitter at Kate Willett, 2 L's, 2 T's. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian, and me and the tech-savvy at-risk youth and Nancy. We'll all be back at you next week with an installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for downloading.